Alrighty, welcome back, boys and girls. Thank you for joining us here, Henrik, with Red Ice TV. Today, we are going to focus on an important channel in Sweden and a YouTube channel called Granskning Sverige. We've talked with Fabian Fjelling before. He's the guy behind the channel, and this is basically a channel that reviews the media. We have independent journalists, citizen journalists, Fabian included, calling different media institutions, different government agencies, etc., basically trying to hold them responsible for what it is that's happening in our country. And just a few... 2 days ago, Fabian, the YouTube channel was shut down. Bonnier was going after you guys, a big publishing house. They own a lot of press in Sweden. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, they have hired a law firm, that Danowski & Partners, that started, They made reports on copyright on our biggest channel. And I have to say, it's not me who is the main person, I would say. I have become one of the main person, but it was actually Johan Andersson, who is still anonymous. Not even I know who he is. But I made a mistake and my identity came out. So I've kind of become the main person, since I'm the only one people know who I am. They hoped, of course, that I would stop when I was outed, but I continued. And now then they've then first tried to label us haters and racist and whatever, which hasn't stuck on us. So then they've started instead to go after copyright, because we are calling journalists who publish idiotic articles. And just a few questions on an article published in Sweden is enough to show that it most of the content on mainstream media is just ridiculous. And this is, of course, not popular. So when we do that, we also take, screen dumps of the articles, which is, of course, necessary in order to criticize it. The purpose of copyright is to protect the earnings of a creator. But in our case, we are using their material, only a screen dump, to show our listeners that they are distributing false information. And that is, of course, not popular. So what they've done is they have videos that are, in some cases, many years old. They have made reports to YouTube, and YouTube works that in the way that if you get one strike, you have three strikes of copyright, and then they shut your account down. But this law firm has then, for under a period of a number of days, they have made repeated reports to YouTube, so that the main channel got three strikes fairly quickly. And now it has been shut down. Then
it's an unbelievable clampdown on many, you know, more right-leaning channels, conservative channels, obviously alt-right channels. But the way that YouTube has dealt with the situation is basically appalling. And the way that they have allowed, even in some cases, some of their employees make the decisions and just go after them. And what you say with the screen dumps is utterly preposterous. I mean, obviously this qualifies for fair use. You can show, you know, things that are in the public record, and you can talk about other media institutions. You're not stealing anything. You're simply referring to these as references. So yeah. That's not the reason, if you ask me.
We have been successful in Granskning Sverige, or Review Sweden, which is the English term, I would say. We have been successful in showing that we don't have democracy in Sweden, or in the West even, because if you have dissenting views, they use the media to stigmatize people with dissenting views. If you don't have the correct views, you can lose your job, or you can, smear you. They start smear campaigns. But on us, it hasn't stuck. People have listened to us, and they have still, they haven't been able to scare the listeners away from us. And I would say it's, to a large degree, it's due to Johan Andersson, who is really a propagandistic genius. He taught me a lot about how to convey your message. And it is fairly impossible to make a smear campaign stick on us. So now they have resorted to legal action. There's also one really interesting thing about this, that the copyright claim should of course be directed to us, but the law firm has not contacted us. They don't answer our calls, and we have not been able to direct communicate with them.
They go to YouTube.
They go to YouTube, yeah.
The way we have to view this is obviously that they would not bother with channels and outlets that are not successful, that are not worth the time or the money or anything like this. So obviously, tell us about the background, the beef with Bonnier. If there's a history there, they called you back in, or they called GS, Review Sweden, back in 2015, I think the video was from. There has been some back and forth. You guys have gone after them on multiple occasions. Good job on that, by the way, because they are the preeminent distributor of fake news in Sweden. But tell us about the history.
It's really an upside down world, because the fake news distributors are saying that they want to fight fake news. And we repeatedly asked, what in our videos is fake, and what in our videos is threats, or what in our videos is racism? And we have never gotten any. And when we call them and ask those questions, it's obvious that they don't have any answers. But I was called, I don't know how long ago, it was probably 2 years ago now, by Bonnier newspaper, which is called Kit. And the name of the clip in our video, in my channel, is Bonnier calls GS. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, there it is.
And I think that interview wakes up quite a few people to how should I say, reality.
It's a good amount of views too. People keep in mind Sweden is a smaller country. These videos are in Swedish, so this is a good amount of views here that you've gotten on this video.
Yeah, and we have English subtitles on quite a few of our videos. The most important ones, I would say. I have a few that deals with Jewish identity, Jewish power, and it does it in a, yeah, how should I say, by posing questions.
Right. So it's not accusatory. It's not blaming.
No, exactly. Yeah. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah.
I called the Israeli embassy and asked if I can emigrate as a Jew to Israel. And they say, of course not. So they are very, you know.
Well, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
It's kind of funny that.
That is the way to do it. And that's one of the things I like about your channel, because obviously, you know, you do engage in people and you just see how bad they are at expressing themselves, how much they stumble. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't have any answers. They don't know anything. These people are literally like drones and bots. Like they're just, you know, following orders, marching orders.
The brainwash is staggering when you realize. I mean, I didn't realize how bad it was when I started. I realized there's a good amount of brainwashing in Sweden or in the West. But when I started with this, it's scary when you talk to people.
It is. Yeah.
I just recently read a really interesting book, World Conquerors, by Louis Machalco. And he talks about how the herds, or whatever, I don't remember his term for it, how they are taught to use phrases without really thinking about what they mean. And that is, Sweden is not, in a nutshell, everybody talks about everybody's equal value, and we have to have an open, inclusive, and tolerant society. But they don't, they cannot reason around those phrases. Like, if I'm a Swede, but you are not, am I saying that you are less worth just because I'm Swedish and you are not? I might even say that you cannot be Swedish. It doesn't mean that I tell him he's less worth than me.
Of course.
But that is a concept that they cannot grasp it.
No, they don't understand the very fundamental points of what we bring to the table, and our right as another group in the world of diversity, where we have different groups, to basically look after our interests in the same way that other groups does. I mean, we don't have to get into kind of the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of like replacement migration here. It's not the purpose of this interview. But if you bring those kinds of concepts to them, where they would clearly defend the rights of other groups if these things were happening to them, they cannot defend it when they're happening to us.
No, exactly. And that's a very important question for Sweden and the whole West. But if you ask a Swedish politician, do ethnic Swedes exist? They will be blank. They will not be able to answer that. If they say no, then people will get angry with them. If they say yes, then the next question is, so what does the unlimited immigration policy do for the ethnic Swedes? And those are really important questions that really needs to have an answer. But no Swedish politician, at least none of the established Swedish politicians, are going to have any thoughts around those issues.
By the way, while I have you on the line here, did you happen to see the press conference between Trump and Stefan Löfven?
No. I avoid seeing Stefan Löfven whenever.
I know, it's funny.
I don't watch television, and I don't. But I've seen clips about it, and I'm just embarrassed every time.
It's like a kindergarten school, you know. But he was saying things such as, you know, well, yes, we have a problem with immigration. I've been focusing on this, and I've been talking about this and stuff. And it's like these people have no clue. It just, I mean, he gets defensive probably around Trump because he has a rhetoric of actually questioning some of these things a little bit more. But anyway, regardless, our country is leaderless. There's no direction. Yeah. It's just, you know, the borders are open. No one knows what the hell is going on. There's more violence than ever. We had a report out of the New York Times effectively validating the things that Trump said over a year ago now, back in February 2017, I think it was, you know, with the violence, with the problems. And now, of course, when New York Times bring it up, then it's okay. When we were talking about it beforehand, basically being ahead of the curve, talking about these things, warning about it, we were fake news distributors, we were racists, we were bigots and all these kinds of things. But now it's okay, apparently.
Yeah, I agree. And this with Levine. I'm sometimes labeled conspiracy theorist. Well, I think Levine is one of the biggest proof that there is conspiracy ruling. There is no way he could end up on the highest position in Sweden on his own. How should I say?
You mean the welder? The welder?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's nothing wrong with welders. Welders can be, you know, it can be interesting.
Of course. No, I know. I'm just making a joke of this thing that he supposedly didn't have in a political know-how in the beginning, right? He was a union man, a trade unionist, you know.
Well, one of the most profound, intelligent persons I know is a carpenter, because he cannot stand going his friends was telling him he should be the president. Yeah, but I can't stand the environment.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Politicians, as I say, it's the scum that rise to the surface. Let's go back to the censorship issue for a little bit here and see what's happening right now. The channel has been reinstated. What's your goals? How do you plan if you are going to go ahead and continue to fight censorship? And what's your recommendation to other people out there that have their own channels, whether they're shut down or not? This is the new Orwellian reality that we are living in now, that these people will go after things that they do not approve of.
Call people and ask questions. You are much stronger when you ask questions than when you have a rant. I mean, a lot of people can have really good rants, which is fine, but I think it's a lot more efficient if you call whoever is in charge of whatever issue you are interested about, and then questions, so they can shape your questions, so to say. Because it's always more... it has a higher effect if someone of the opposite view confirms your message, so to say. And then when it comes to the censorship going on here, there's been a complete frenzy in Dagens Nyheter and Expressen, which are two of the main newspapers in Sweden. I don't know if there's been anything in the television. I don't watch television. But they have just pumped out articles about how terrible we are, how we are threatening people, how we are harassing people. And it's so funny. They have videos from when they come to my home, while they're in the same article, they're talking about how we call people and harass them when we ask our questions. I've been the face for Granskning Sverige. I am, you know, fairly good at asking questions that paints people into a corner. But the atmosphere of hate that Expressen and DN and Bonnier have whipped up against Granskning Sverige and myself has made now cookheads, or what's it called, idiots are sending threat mails to my family. And I can't put my family through this. I will step down. I will quit now because.
So you're giving in to their pressures? That's too bad.
Yeah, it is sad. It is sad for democracy. But it's also, I would say, in a way, a message. If you have to be anonymous to ask relevant questions in Sweden, that should be a thought for people in power.
But you know what? I think that we are so close to tipping the scales, if you will. Yes, they have a lot of power. Yes, they have a lot of influence. Yes, they have mentally ill people that are basically, you know, mind control drones that are backing up the establishment at this point. I'm not denying that. And yes, we are putting ourselves at risk. And I'm not, you know, kind of telling you, well, I urge you not to step down. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think that we're so close, Fabian. They're so afraid. They're so scared of the success and the breakthrough that we're having with our message, that these are the tactics that they have to resort to.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I am a former fighter pilot, so the thought of risking my life is not foreign. I have done it, and it's not myself that is the problem. I know that I have gotten messages from the inside that you know, murder is not out of the question, and I cannot put my family through this. It's my wife is suffering significantly every time this hate storm is coming up. I'm sure that the fight will continue without me. I mean, there's lots of really good videos. Johan is a genius, and there are a number of more who are asking questions, really good questions, and I've been talking, and Johan and me talking to a lot of people who wants to pick it up, and I might be available to train people to ask their own questions, but I will step down from being the face of Grand Prix Sverige.
I'm showing some footage here to back up basically your claim. We're back up. We still don't know. I won't jump to conclusions at this point, but it is true that Bashir Rabbani, who was a former guest on the show as well, he was a Syrian migrant, I think, way back, or maybe his parents had come. He was born in Sweden. I don't know. But he was supportive of our concerns and of our side, if you will. He did a lot of good things, investigative journalism. He confronted also people in the same way that Grand Prix Sverige does. And he was, of course, found dead after actually being at the home of Robert Aschberg, one of the prominent journalists, if we can call him that, in Sweden. He's the guy who's funded Expo, this another group that has been part of whipping up hatred against people who have dissenting views, basically, politically in Sweden. What do you think happened here? And are these kinds of examples that make you afraid for your family?
No, actually, it's not so much what happened to Bashir, even though I don't know, I can't say what happened. There are some very strange things going on around Bashir since all his discussions on Facebook disappeared the same night that he, or very close to the time that he died. That is very odd. But what happened, I don't know, of course. And that is actually not, I have been called by people from the inside, so to say, who have warned that you need to be careful and what I can do to be more safe, so to say. They know that when they whip up a frenzy, there will be some people, you know, on the edge that will get impulses to do stupid things because they are stupid people. And they know that will be the effect when they start their hate storm. I don't know if it's, I don't take it that seriously, the letter that I have been sent, but still, it makes a lot of strain for especially my wife. And I just wanted to tell you also how the censorship works in Sweden. I mean, we have so nice laws about freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and freedom of whatever. But what they do is that they form private groups, non-profits, that are supposed to clean the internet from hate or from whatever they what's it called? What issues they have, and then the government gives prizes or in other ways monetary rewards to these groups so they can finance their repression. And then they scan the internet and make reports as soon as they see something that they don't like, so that these accounts, YouTube accounts, Facebook accounts, and so on, get reports. And I guess it's almost automatic that when you get enough reports, you get shut down. So the government themselves could not do that. So they send money to nonprofits that do it for them. So it's censorship on contracted censors.
Right, exactly. They outsource the dirty work, so to speak.
That's the word for it,
yeah. All right. So very true. You know, it's incredibly troubling. The times that we're in are definitely, it's more extreme than I've ever seen it. And it's not only Swedish YouTube channel. It's American. It's British. It's, you know, it's across the board. I think I had a video by a Flemish group just the other day that we put up that were doing some demonstration against their population replacement. They had their videos shut down and taken, you know, yanked right away and stuff like that. So again, I go back to the previous question there. I guess any tips for people who want to pick up and continue? Do you think people should get, I mean, obviously the audience is on YouTube, so you want to be there. I'm not saying you should just bail. You should be on YouTube. You should continue to fight, anyone out there listening, and continue to put up videos that pushes the boundaries and try set up a new channel. Just fight, continue to fight. But we need other platforms too, you know.
Of course, you should be parallel. Publish everywhere that you can. In Facebook, we are on number 13 on pages. It got just 2 days, I think it was, and then it was shut down. So I guess we're going to have to set up number 14, Granskning Sverige on Facebook, number 14.
Yeah.
And the same has happened on YouTube. And a lot of our listeners have downloaded all our material, and I hope they upload it on other channels. So it's we have to make it difficult for the censors so that they have to work overtime to shut the ideas out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you're busy. You're at a hotel. The connection is somewhat dodgy. We're going to let you go in a little bit. But any other, I mean, we're going to be sad to see you go because you've been a vital asset in Sweden. And it's always good to have an organization that has a face on it. It's easier for many people that way than just anonymous people, which I understand, obviously. But is there anyone else that's going to kind of take over the role of being a face within GS, as far as you've heard?
I don't know. I think it's going to be anonymous. I think they're going to continue anonymous. We haven't talked about it, but I think the best is to be anonymous because you need to protect your loved ones so they don't have to go through the stress and tension. It will continue. We have already, the shutdown account has been uploaded on a lot of other channels, and we have people working behind the scenes, downloading and uploading and doing all kinds of stuff. I don't even have time to copy and paste all the messages that they want me to send to different places. But what can I give for advice? I mean, one thing is that people need to stand up for what they, because I'm kind of, I'm not saying I'm alone, but there's a lot of people saying, oh, we support you. But it would be good if they would support it in person, if they would support our cause in person. Stand up, yeah.
Of
me,
course.
This and that. I support Granskning Sverige because I think what they're doing is right. But you get messages on you know, confidential messages that we support you. But no, very few wants to stand up and really stand for it.
And that just won't last in the long term. You know, we have there is safety numbers and more people to come out and support it. But what are all these people going to go after every single one? That's just not going to happen. There needs to be a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a you know, kind of the drop that makes the cup spill over. Like there is a moment when, like, you know, if a mass of people come out at once, then there's nothing you can do. And people out there listening to this, and especially people in Sweden, but it's true for other countries as well. You have to realize that, yes, it might seem bad and it might seem like a difficult thing to put yourself, you know, in a position where you openly support something or you take a stand or whatever. There's a risk of people saying that they dislike you or calling you racist or whatever the hell they're, you know, hater or something like that. But think of the consequences of not doing anything. This is taking a stand now and fighting back is, that's the less painful option in this case. The more painful option is to do nothing and wait and stand back and watch this disaster of multiculturalism and population replacement occur, because that's not going to be a pretty future, not for us, not for our children, or for their children.
Yeah, what is needed is that people stand up, and I say it's standing down, so it's a bit of hypocrisy there. But if everybody was standing up with their identity, then there would be so many more to focus their hate on. So if that would have happened a while ago, maybe I wouldn't be the focal point of all the hate from Bonnier at the moment.
Thank you for your work, Fabian. It's been immensely important, and I do believe that you'll be back in the fight whether you wanted to now or not. But thank you for your work and for doing what you're doing. And again, people out there listening and watching, don't let this discourage anybody. There's many more people that are coming out every day, and they're standing up against the globalization process and basically the displacement of European people in the West. And I think that this fight is far, far from over. I think it's, as I said before, this is the death throes of the system that are trying to shut down alternative methods of information reaching the people out there. Because when sound people, rational people, get to make a decision whether to believe the fake mainstream media or to believe people like us who are actually fighting the good fight, and the information that we're putting up is correlating, it makes sense. They're seeing and experiencing out when they're out and about, on the street level, so to speak. So they will favor us. They will not go for the lies,
Can I just put an issue or question out there? It often boils down to anti-Semitism when you ask questions that try to go to the core of the truth. There's usually a blame of anti-Semitism everywhere, and that you're a conspiracy theorist if you believe that there's something in common for the Jews. Well, if you believe that there is a common cause amongst Jews, then you are a conspiracy theorist. But what is then World Jewish Congress doing if they don't have some common cause?
And that's not the only group. There's literally hundreds of groups. We've listed them before on the program. I can run a clip actually over this right now that shows there's hundreds of groups representing their interests. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. But let us have our groups represent our interests then,
Yeah.
Stop the hypocrisy. Stop the double standards.
Yeah, absolutely. But the most, shut up argument is that you are an anti-Semite.
Yeah, because that's one of the most powerful programmed. If there is any such a thing as a mind control in the mass media, that would be it, right? They take out the card that they think is going to make the most damage, that the most people are going to be afraid of being called and run away from. And in many cases, that's true because the programming around it has just been so immense. But they can present it without proof. If you rebut it with logical arguments and saying, well, I'm just questioning X, Y, Z here. Well, what's the big deal, right? It's okay if I do that for any other group, or question the power that Swedes have within Sweden. That's okay, right?
You can always say that if anyone defines a group in any way, there are going to be interests connected to that group. And they most likely are going to be in conflict with some other group.
It's question worth thinking about. I think that there's a lot to it there, and if people just had a dialogue about it as opposed to just calling names as usual and just trying to shut people down. But again, I think there's too much information there. There's too much risk in having us asking logical questions that are not hysterical or a conspiracy theory, but just a factual statement of looking at what's going on out there in the real world and what organizations are there, what interests are being pushed, and which people in positions of influence and power in the media, if they do have an ethic common bond, and if they do they have an interest which is counteractive to ours? That's a reasonable question to ask. Many people would do it if it was Muslims or the Amish or Hindus or any other group that were sitting in a position of pushing something in to their own advantage, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the big problems in Sweden, that if you push the thought that the Muslims have interests in common, I mean, that's totally obvious that they have
interests in
common. But if you're brainwashed into that you don't belong to any group, and then you get group into your country that has very beliefs of their interests, you're of course going to lose.
All right, Fabian, we'll let you go. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us an update on the channel. Thank you for the good fight. We will. I think we will see you again.
Yeah, we'll see, maybe. But for now, I'm stepping down anyway.
All right, sad to see you go. Thank you, Fabian, for joining us.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks.